Couple of things before we get started. We are going to be in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, if you would be turning there in Scripture. If you do not have a Bible, there should be one in the back of the pew there in front of you. It's on page 656 of that Bible, and please feel free to use that. Also, the words will be on the screen, but if you do not have a Bible, please feel free also to take that one as a gift to you. We would love for you to have that. We want you to study it. We want you to read it. We would love, though, to even help you learn from it. If you want to learn more about what Scripture says about what Christ has done, we would love to be able to walk alongside you and teach you. We do that in several ways. Number one, we have the Sunday service, obviously. We also have Wednesday night Bible study and prayer time, and then Sunday school at 9:45 on Sundays. But if there are specific questions that you have, specific answers that you're seeking, please feel free to come up and ask me at any time during the time, or I can, you know, we can connect after the service during the week, whatever needs to happen. Easter's coming up. Next Sunday is Resurrection Sunday, as they call it. So we have a full day of activities planned starting at 7:30. 7:30 will be a sunrise service. I think sunrise is like 7:25 or something like that. So we're going to have a sunrise service. So if you will, please be in prayer for that service. Kirill's going to be bringing the message there. Immediately after that service, so 8:15 to 8:30-ish, whenever that time is done, we're going to have breakfast downstairs. Brian's...
Come on, amen.
Yeah, we're going to cook a whole bunch for you, so come and enjoy that. And then our worship service will be at 11 o'clock. We will forego Sunday school next Sunday. But 11 o'clock, we will be taking the Lord's Supper during the 11 o'clock service. So be in prayer for that. Then immediately following the 11 o'clock service, I think there's an Easter egg hunt out in the area all over. And so be inviting kids. We will have an Easter egg hunt. There will be plenty of candy, but we need you to bring candy to the church before next Sunday, so you can drop that off, and I'm sure we'll mention that again. So be in prayer for that. And then the following Sunday after that, we'll pick back up in our Nehemiah study. We've been studying through the book of Nehemiah. After resurrection, we'll pick back up in chapter 9 of Nehemiah, so you can be reading ahead there. But today we're going to talk about preparing as ambassadors of light. And in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, there's a specific passage that I want us to look at. It's in verse 20 and 21. And I would venture to guess that most of you, if you're an adult, even if you're a child, maybe you know that this world is pretty messed up. I would venture to say, if I say the world's just messed up beyond repair, that I get a lot of heads bobbing and people would say, yeah, you know, it's pretty messed up. Things look bad, okay? But the beautiful thing is, if we're a Christian, this is not our home. We are here as ambassadors from another country. If you will, our home is with Christ in heaven. That's where we're going, but we have a specific job that we've been given. And that's what we're going to look at this morning in 2 Corinthians 5, starting in verse 20. If you will look there, it says, "Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ, since God is making his appeal through us. We plead on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. He made the one who did not know sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God." Let's pray. Dear Lord, these verses are just chocked full of truth. And in verse 21, in 15 words in the Greek, in 15 words, you give the clarity of the gospel. And as we think about preparation for your celebration of the resurrection, dear Lord, we want to see how we should be preparing not only ourselves, but those around us. If we are to be called as ambassadors, what is our duty? What is our job as ambassadors of light? Help us to prepare our hearts and plead and beg with those around us for their soul's sake. And dear Lord, if there's anyone here who does not know you, I pray that your Holy Spirit will be dealing with them even now. And everything that is said, everything that is done that glorifies you, I pray that you embed it in our hearts. But if there's anything said or done that does not glorify you, if there's anything I say that does not glorify you, I pray those words hit the ground before they even hit their ears. We want to glorify you in all that we do. For it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. So many of you may remember a gentleman by the name of Victor Ashe. Victor Ashe. He was a former mayor of Knoxville. He ended up actually being an ambassador of the United States to the country of Poland, if I remember correctly. But he was serving as ambassador, as a representative to the U.S. to another country. And I had the privilege one time of just being on the same flight, going out of McGee Tyson as him, and I got to exchange pleasantries, didn't get into a big conversation. But as I came across this passage where it talks about us being ambassadors for Christ, you know, then it got me thinking, well, what do ambassadors do? And we are literally located in a foreign land. This, you know, you've heard the old hymn maybe, this land is not our home, we're just passing through, right? But it's okay to think of ourselves as passing through, but if we're breathing, we have a purpose that God has for us while we're passing through. We have a job to do. And so as an ambassador, we are representing another kingdom, and we're representing the king of that kingdom. And verse 20 tells us we are ambassadors for Christ. So that's who we are representing. And we represent him in everything that we should be doing. Not only that, but we represent him in the here and now. So we're not trying to rely on someone else to do the job God has called us to do. Okay, hear me say that again. We're not relying on someone else to do the job we are called to do. We are one of several ambassadors that Christ has put forth in this land. Right? We prayed for churches this morning. They are ambassadors. They are servants of light, just as we are. And they have specific ministries, but we do as well. So we don't just farm out. We don't just pray for others. We have to look at ourselves. So we represent him now. That's what verse 20 is all about. We are making an appeal. So it's present tense. We are now. We represent him here in the world. So what do ambassadors do? Verse 20. Therefore, we are now ambassadors for Christ. So what do ambassadors do? Well, if you think about what ambassadors do, they communicate back with the home country, right? They're a means of communication. So as Christians, how do we communicate back with the home kingdom? Through prayer and petition, right? This is how we communicate. We have our instruction manual. We have our guide, if you will, here in Scripture. So we know what the kingdom and the king is thinking, and we know what we're supposed to be doing, and we need to communicate back with our king. Matthew 6, verse 7 gives us a point of emphasis here. It says, when you pray. So it's making an assumption that we are praying people. That is our means of communication back with the kingdom. So when you're sharing the gospel with someone and they completely reject you and you feel hurt and you take it back to Christ, how do you take it back? Through prayer. If you have someone that you're trying to share the gospel with and you're looking for that opening and doors are shutting, how do you beseech on behalf of the king? You take it through prayer. When we pray, makes the inference that we are to pray. So ask yourself, just as I'll ask myself, are we praying the way we should be praying? Is our communication as ambassadors where it needs to be? Not only do ambassadors communicate back to the home nation, back to the home kingdom, but we are also supposed to be developing relationships on behalf of that kingdom. We are to develop relationships on behalf of that kingdom. We have a host nation. As I said before, our address here and your address where you live is given to you by God for a reason. It may be that you picked out the house that you want to live in. It may be that you're living in an apartment right now. Wherever it may be, even in your car, God has you there for a purpose and for a reason. And so, as you're there, in that place, at that time, we are developing a relationship with the host nation. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 11 says, we should seek to lead a quiet life, to mind our own business, and to work with our hands as we commanded you. That is one way we develop relationships, is live quietly amongst ourselves, because the last thing that this world needs is more disruption, just for disruption's sake. Right? We don't get a lot done if we just scream out in the marketplace. But if we're hospitable, if we help people, if we have a communication with others and lead a quiet life and seek to lead a quiet life as best we can, then that helps develop relationships that God will then use. Right? You have friendships that God has blessed you with. I would venture to say you have acquaintances and relatives that if you're at odds with, you're not going to be able to communicate very effectively with. But if you're leading a quiet life and hospitable, then you're able to develop those relationships and you are a good representative for the king and to the commands that he has given us. So we are to communicate with the host nation. We're to develop relationships. Next, we are to be working hard because we are representing a kingdom and a king who has worked and does work. We are to be working hard as unto the Lord. Colossians 3, verse 23. Whatever you do, do it from the heart as someone done or as something done for the Lord and not for people. So as we are in this ambassadorship and we are representing our king, what we are to do with all we've got. Right? Using a sports analogy, if you play sports or you've ever played sports or you enjoy watching sports or if you're on a team of any kind, I would take a team of people who try versus a team who with all the talent in the world who don't. Wouldn't you? And here's the kicker. For us, God gives us gifts spiritually, supernaturally that we use that as long as we're trying, God actually does the work. We just have to be willing to work for him. So we are to work hard as unto the Lord. We are to work hard in prayer. We are to work hard in study. We are to work hard in sharing, in hospitality. Everything that we do, let's work as if we are working with diligence because the time is near. So communicate with the home country, develop relationships with the nation that we're in, work hard as unto the Lord, and then we are to act in accordance with the way the king we represent acts. We are to act in accordance with the way the king we represent acts. Micah 6, verse 8 says, this is what the Lord requires of you, to act justly, to love faithfulness, and to walk humbly with your God. So that's our command. That's the way Jesus acted when he came to earth. Did he stand up to injustice? Yes. Did he stand up to the religious leaders who were mistreating the people? Yes. Did he confront the spiritual darkness of his day and age? Yes. We are to do the same. He also loved mercy. He was merciful to those who were without hope. He was merciful to those who needed him. He was merciful to the sinners among us all the way to the cross. And he did so humbling himself, because he is the king we are representing. He came down off his throne, put on this veil of flesh that we live, and lived without sin, and did it humbling himself to the point where he died on the cross for you and for me. So we are to represent and act like the king that we represent. So when we do what we've been called to do, we are also called to love our neighbor as ourself, right? You've heard this before. Mark 12, verse 31. Christ says the second most important commandment is this: love your neighbor as yourself. There are no other greater commands than these. So the first one is love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. The second is love your neighbor as yourself. As ambassadors, as we're developing these relationships, it's not that we're cold, calculating political figures. God has put us on this earth to develop these relationships, and we actually care, or should care, for one another. We should care for the person on the street. We should care for the person who is homeless. We should care for the person who is caught in an addiction. We should care for those who are in alternative lifestyles. We should care for the person on the pew beside you who look like they have everything together, but guess what? Their life is just as messed up as ours. We are to care and love for our neighbor. That's what we're commanded to do as ambassadors for Christ. So that's how we represent the king. But ambassadors also do something else, and maybe you haven't thought about this as much. Ambassadors are supposed to help those traveling from the same country. We are to help other Christians. How do we do that? Well, the first one is love one another, right? John 13, 34 says, I give you a new command, love one another just as I have loved you. You are also to love one another. There are 50 plus passages in the New Testament that are considered the one another passages. The vast majority of those are on the positive side. Love one another, pray for one another, support one another, be hospitable to one another, so forth and so on. There's a few negative ones where we have to correct one another, and that's maybe the case as well, but we are helping those same travelers from our kingdom make it on their journey. Hebrews 1 and 2 talks about we're surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses. We are to run our race, right? Everyone from the home country of heaven that is representing Christ is on this pathway, is on this journey with us, and we're to help them and to love them and to guide them and to pray with them and be guided by them and be prayed for by them. We are also to be devoted to one another. As we help travelers from our home country, we are to be devoted to one another. Romans 12, verse 10 says, love one another deeply as brothers and sisters. Take the lead in honoring one another. So we are to love them deeply. We are to be devoted to them as brothers and sisters. Right? So if you have a friend who is a Christian, who has a burden, has a need, or has something that they're trying to do for Christ, and you know it's the proper thing to do, they're not caught in sin, but they're trying to minister, we're to love them and help them and plead for them on Christ's behalf. But there's a second part of that as well. We're to honor one another, chapter 12, verse 10. Again, honor one another. So many times we get caught up in the fact that we have our plans, and I'm not saying that it's not good to have plans, but it's okay if our plans get disrupted because a brother or sister calls us up and says, hey, I need some help. We put them first. That's the way that our king acts. That's the way we should act. But as we're helping these travelers along the way, we also should live in harmony with one another. Romans 12, verse 16 says, live in harmony with one another. Do not be proud. Instead, associate with the humble. Do not be wise in your own estimation. So as ambassadors of Christ, as ambassadors of the light, we should be living in harmony with one another as best we can. It goes back to living a quiet life in the world. When the world sees that we're living in harmony with one another, as much disarray and as much war and as much hatred as there is, if we're living in harmony with other Christians, we look different. And hopefully different enough where they're asking the question, why do you have that? Why do you have that hope? Why can you get along with someone who doesn't look like you, is not in the same socioeconomic class as you, does not speak the same language as you? How can you do that? How can you live in harmony like that? Jesus. Pastor one time told a story. There was an elderly lady from his church that was on her deathbed and in her final days, and happened to have a nurse who was of the Islamic faith and was talking to her. And this nurse was confused because there were some teenagers from her church that had come and just spent time with her and prayed with her, not relatives, but just spent time with this lady who's about to die. And here you have this dichotomy that this Muslim saw, was you have old and young, you have non-relatives and those who are just about to pass on into eternity, and here they're spending time and sharing this harmony together. And the pastor recalls the chance that he got to witness to this nurse, and the nurse says, what is this? And the pastor was like, well, this is our church caring for some of our own. And he asked, he said, don't you have this? It doesn't something like this happen in your local mosque? Aren't there people who come and support others from the same religious background? And the nurse goes, no, I've never seen this before. And he was able to share Christ. Now, he didn't go as far as to say that she accepted Christ as Savior, but it was an opportunity to share Christ with her, and we pray that she did come to a faith and knowledge of Him. But that's the type of thing we're talking about, living in harmony. We're not just here because we all look the same. We're not just here because we all speak the same language. We're not just here because we're in the same socioeconomic class. We're here because we have the same God. And we should live in harmony despite our differences. Lastly, we are to build one another up. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 11 says, therefore, encourage one another, build each other up, as you are already doing. As you are already doing. So we are to build up, we are to encourage. One of the greatest things in the world is to see a student become as good or as proficient as the teacher, right? And so we are to continually be building one another up, helping us understand that as we disciple, as we mentor, as we talk about Christ to others, and they develop a deeper and deeper relationship with Jesus, that's something we should continually and constantly try to do as ambassadors, is build one another up. And then last, we are to act as a messenger. Verse 20 back in our text. Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ, since God is making His appeal through us. We are to serve as the messenger. Now, an interesting thing here, if you look at the word ambassador in the Greek, it's actually the same word that's translated minister in other locations in the New Testament. So we are to serve as ministers. I'm not talking about titles of pastor or whatever, but we are to do the business of ministering to others. That's what we are doing as ambassadors of Christ. We are called to minister with the statesmanship and experience of a servant of Christ. We are to share this message. So if that's what an ambassador is, what is our message? Look in verse 21. He made the one who did not know sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. That is the message. But back in verse 20, look at the terminology that's used about how we should be dealing in this message. God is making his appeal through us. We are to plead on Christ's behalf. We are to plead, be reconciled to God. Our message is one of urgency. It's not while we're here, it's not that we're trying to Bible thump people. However, it is the fact that people, because of sin, are dying and going to face God's judgment one day. And without Christ, they're going to face God's wrath. So we have an urgent message. The scripture here tells us, beg, plead, beseech, whatever you have to do to help them understand what the message of the gospel is. It's urgent. But our message is one that is not only urgent, our message is one of forgiveness. Sinners can place their sin on Jesus, and then Jesus will exchange his righteousness for your sin. Now think about that just for a second. Verse 21 says, the one who knew no sin, the sinless, spotless, pure Lamb of God, God himself, Christ Jesus, the purity, the beauty, the hope of all eternity, the Creator, takes on the fact that even while you're sitting here, you may have committed a sin. He knew it. He takes that on. So all the vile, all the nasty, all the dirt, everything that we drum up, all the backbiting, all the lies we tell, all the ill thoughts that we think, the fornications, the addictions, anything that we have to be reconciled to God, we put it on Christ. And Christ takes that. He took it on the cross, and he said, my God, why have you forsaken me? Why have you forsaken me? Well, it's because of us that Jesus had to bear God's wrath. And he did that willingly. He did that because he loved us. Romans 5:8, right? We looked at it last week. He loved us so much that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. And then not only does all of our dirt, all of our smudge, all of our scum, anything, whatever adjective you want to use there, all of our sin, the black, is placed on Christ. Verse 21 says, then Christ's righteousness is placed on us. This is imputation, if you want to use a theological word. God imputes our sin on Christ, and Christ imputes his righteousness on us. It's attributing something to some other person, or charging of one with something, or setting someone else's money in their account. It's basically a forensic accounting term. They are imputing something. So our justification is saying, I know that Ralton is a sinner. I know that Ralton cannot live a single day without breaking one of my commands. I know that Ralton is under the curse of sin in what happened in the garden. I know the blackness of Ralton's heart. And I am taking all of that, God says, and I am putting it on Christ. And Christ is going to pay for all of this stuff on the cross because he loves Ralton. And then I am going to take the beauty, the splendor, the mercy, the purity, the cleanliness, the holiness of Jesus, and I'm going to take it from Jesus and give it to Ralton. That is the gospel in 15 Greek words. God satisfied his own requirements through the death of his Son to save those who repent and believe in him. Our job as ambassadors of light is to share that message in whatever form, whatever way we can, be as clear as we can. There is satisfaction that we can receive for the fact that we know the truth of the gospel. And God's wrath is satisfied in Christ. And God's blessing is given to us. Christ's perfect life, his atoning substitutionary death, satisfied God's wrath against our sin and against us. So our call as ambassadors is clear. And this morning, my call to you as an ambassador is clear. I beg you, I plead with you, be reconciled to God through Christ Jesus. Let him take your sin upon himself and he will give you his righteousness. That's how we prepare for Easter. That's how we prepare our hearts to know what Christ has done for us and be able to serve and to give that message to others. So I'd ask you to close your eyes, bow your head. I'm not asking you to raise your hand. I'm not asking you to do anything special, but take an account of your life. Do you know Jesus as your Savior? Have you been reconciled to the King of the true kingdom? If you have, then my plea to all of us as Christians, serve as ambassadors of light. This week, think of just one person that needs to hear this message. Share the gospel with them. Pray for them. Pray for an opportunity to invite them to our services next week. If they are just wayward and they have another church to go to, encourage them to go there to hear the gospel proclaimed. But if they're not a Christian, pray for an opportunity to share. Pray for an opportunity for God to use you as his messenger, as his ambassador for his kingdom. Dear Heavenly Father, I don't know the outcomes that your Holy Spirit will pull from this message, but we know that your word does not go out and return void. It accomplishes everything that you have set forth to accomplish. And dear Lord, we just pray even now, in the quietness of this moment, that if there's anyone here who does not know you, that they would come and ask about that relationship. If there's anyone here who is confused about the message, that they would come and pray for clarity. And dear Lord, this week, we just pray that as ambassadors hear from you through this church, Fireside Fellowship, that we will be inviting, we will be pleading, we will be beseeching on your behalf and sharing the message that you have given us, because it is urgent and it is one of repentance. We thank you for this time. The altar will be open for anyone to pray to you if they so need. For it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.